Very good morning to you, listeners. This is the Because He Lives program presented by the Church of the Nazarene. We're very pleased to share with you as usual. Well, in today's session, we first want to thank Father Mortis Spears for their generosity through the years, and may God continue to bless them as they partner with the Church of the Nazarene in spreading the gospel. In today's program, we are also pleased to share with the National Council on Substance Abuse. Today, we have a representative, Timothy Ifill, who will share with us. May God bless him as he shares.
Good morning, Barbados. My name is Timothy, and I am from the National Council on Substance Abuse. It brings me great pleasure to share the word of the Lord this morning with you. I have chosen for a theme, if ever there was a time to worship, is now. I believe that the Lord is saying that in this time, that if ever there is a time to worship Him, it is now. The text that I would be reading from is the book of John chapter 4. You will be happy to note that I will not be reading the entire chapter, but there are some verses that I will pull out at different points just to emphasize the thought that God has placed upon my heart. The story picks up in verse 7 of John chapter 4, and it said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call your husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. All fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is his spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here ends the reading of God's word. We see from the text that Jesus was on a particular journey, but he said that he had need to pass through Samaria. And just to give you a little historical context about Samaria, Samaria was part of the northern kingdom. And understand that Israel was split into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was made of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, where the other 10 tribes remained in the north. And in the north was predominantly made of wicked kings, and they prevented the people of God from going into the south where the temple was, and there's only one temple, you see. So to maintain their style of worship, their atmosphere of worship going to the temple, that was forbidden by the northern kings. And as a matter of fact, they went on to build idols and encouraged false worship. But they who were in the south, they remained true to their worship, their place of worship, and to their God. And at one point in time, the Jews in the south, they witness how the Jews in the south, they separated themselves from those in the north, to a point where they even refer to them as dogs. And why was that? It is because that they have taken upon themselves to break the commands of God. If you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, 3-5, you would see that it was forbidden that they would take on other gods, or that they would intermarry. So after the tribes in the north had fallen to the Assyrians, they started to intermarry, and they started to worship their gods. And I would go as far as to say that the Jews that were in the south, from Benjamin and Judah, they did not forgive them. They kind of separate themselves from them, and label them as worse than dogs. So when Jesus came to the well at Samaria, he was not just coming to any ordinary well, but he was coming to a place where historically there was a rift. And he, being identified as a Jew by the Samaritan woman, the question was asked. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So you understand that it took her by surprise, first of all, that he would even ask her for a drink of water. I want to tell you that, your environment might have legitimized the labeling, your labeling, or might have put a tag on you to say that you are less than a dog, you are less than human, you are less than this person or that person. And people may pass you sometimes and push their nose up in the air. But here is Jesus being a Jew with a woman at the well and ask her for a drink. I believe that sometimes we need to humble ourselves like Jesus, recognizing that we are all equal under God, that we are all human beings. And Jesus had no problem with laying aside his royalty, laying aside his deity, and coming next to this woman who would have been labeled as a lesser being and asking for her for a drink of water. That's another way that we can worship the Lord, by laying aside our titles, by laying aside all of the trimmings of life, all of the accolades, and just humbling yourself before the Lord. That too is worship. Telling God that I put you on a pedestal all by yourself. I am nothing. And if you want to use me to bless somebody this morning in some way, to speak to someone, I don't mind stepping aside. I don't mind taking off those titles and coming to that person and saying something that you would want me to say. For Jesus himself was indeed doing the will of the Father by going out of the way. When I say going out of the way, because remember, he was on a particular journey, but he said, I have need that I must pass through Samaria. So no task was too little or too great, because his lifestyle depicted a worship unto his Father. And he wants the same for us, that we would set aside time to worship the Father. And you would see later in the text that he's not emphasizing on a place to worship, as in a building, but somewhere in the heart of man reserved for God, to worship him in our actions, worship him in our obedience, worship him with our goods, worship him in our minds, with our hearts, with our soul. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, but Jesus went on to, you know, play a little, and he said, you know, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water. Surely God knows how to get our attention. For there the woman was at the well, and she's drawing water. It is a laborious task, and she sees herself having to do that every day. But God said, you know, I could give you living water. Who would not want to have that water that they would not have to come every day to draw that through that laborious task of taking water from the well? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that if you found yourself today where Jesus has shown up, whether it be on this radio broadcast, or whether it be someone visiting you with a word, whether it be someone on the street, or in your home, or in your workplace, wherever you are, you found that Jesus has turned up in some way. He is there to offer you something that you could not have otherwise received in yourself. So Jesus turned up and he said to the woman, if you dare ask me, I would have given you living water. Hallelujah. And understand that that is a catch. That is a catch to her. That is an attention grabber. God knows how to grab your attention this morning. So if he is grabbing your attention, don't turn your back on him, but take hold of the opportunity. And hear the woman saying, give me this water so that I would not have to thirst again. I would not have to come and draw from this well again. But as we know, that was not the water that he was speaking of. He was speaking about the living water. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit that the Father wants to give you today, so that you can He can enable you to do something that you could not have done before. He's there to give you a precious gift. If there ever is a time that we need God, is now. And he wants you to come like that woman and say, give me, give me, give me this living water. So just after grabbing her attention and after her, the lady responded, when the woman responded, give me this water, here Jesus now. And this is the attention grabber. This is the game changer. He said, go call thy husband and come hither. Go call thy husband and come hither. I want you to know that God knows the details. God already knows the details of your life. The woman responded was, I have no husband. Jesus answered her, thou hast well said. I want you to know there's nothing hidden in your life that God doesn't already know. He's just giving you the opportunity to lay it out on the table. God loves you and he's not there to judge you. He just wants to give you the opportunity to confess, to fess up, as the men would say on the block, man up and say what you have to say. But Jesus didn't waste time. He said, go call your husband. None, I don't have, sir. I don't have any. And Jesus, knowing all things, he said, that is true, because you have five husbands, and the one that you have even now, he's not yours. He's not yours. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God knows your DNA. God knows the 911 about you. There's nothing hidden that he cannot reveal. But where society will want to label you and put you into a corner and say, you stay there until I tell you you can get up. Jesus is not about that. He's about restoring you. He's about setting you free. He's about making a way where there seemed to be no way. He said, go call your husband. From that came an opportunity to confess. That came an opportunity to come clean. And he was there to let her know, look, I already knew that. I already knew that. And that didn't stop me from asking you for water. That didn't stop me from giving you or offering you living water. I am here not to condemn you, but I'm here to set you free. Even now, Jesus is here to set you free. After that exposure, she could do nothing else but admit and to confess that this surely Jesus was a prophet. Surely this man knew something that he could not have otherwise known unless there was a divine revelation. You know, she was no idiot. She was no fool. She recognized that without the help of social media, without the help of print media, without the help of television or gossip, this man knew something about her that nobody else could have told him. Hallelujah. That is who we serve. That is the God that is interested in us today, just as he was interested in this woman at the well. Hallelujah. So she was not about to insult his intelligence at all, his supernatural intelligence. First thing she acknowledged is that he was a prophet. Verse 19 says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, however, and check the strategy now, because whenever someone is exposed, whenever we are exposed of our weaknesses and our sin, we try hard sometimes to change the topic. We try something hard to divert attention elsewhere because we don't want our sins to be exposed. We don't want our weaknesses to be exposed. But I want to tell you, just like any good counselor knows, that if you truly want help in a problem, you've got to first be able to expose yourself. You've got to be able to say, look, I need help. But she was not yet at that point. I believe that she had used this age-old long bone of contention, the place of worship. Here, verse 20, she says, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Hallelujah. But here, Jesus wastes no time. He wastes no time. He was not about to get trapped into that argument that have divided in the north and the south for decades. Jesus said to the woman, believe me, woman, believe me, cometh the hour when ye shall neither in this mountain or it at Jerusalem, worship the Father. So that straight away diffused the argument, even though he did not want her to think that he was not an intellectual, because he knows the history. He said, "You worship, you know not what." He was telling, in other words, idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping something that is outside of this world, something that you cannot see, you cannot put your hand on. You create it in your mind. You have no sort of connection with that thing that you've created. You worship that which you know not. However, we know who or what we worship. We know what we worship. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Glory to God. So he's not in any time at all. He's not at all, sidetracking or trying to skirt around the issue. He knows exactly what is the issue. And if you want to bring that up, let's go. He said, you want to go there? Let's go there then. But salvation is of the Jews. End of argument. But the hour cometh. Glory to God. The hour cometh. That's where you want to. You try to get away from this critical point, but we are back here. The hour cometh, and now is. It is not just futuristic anymore. It is right here. The hour is right here. The moment is now. Now is the time to worship. I'm saying again that if ever there is a time that men ought to worship, it is now. If ever there is a time that we should worship, it is now. And Jesus is saying to the woman at the well, now it is here. Now it is here. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Praise the name of the Lord. So she doesn't have to wait to go to a particular place where she has been forbidden to go. I want you to know that there are people in other parts of the world that are forbidden to go into certain places to worship, and they cannot go, but it does not stop them from connecting with the true and living God. It does not stop them from connecting with their liberator, with the one who is able to set them free. You may find yourself this morning with a label, carrying a label. Maybe it was from your father, from your mother. Maybe it's from a boyfriend, a girlfriend, an ex-husband, an ex-wife. It might have been from some abuser, somebody looking down on you this morning. You don't have to wait to be liberated by their taking the labels off. Jesus is here this morning to take the label off. He's here to remove the places that you have been restricted from going and setting you free. He's saying that I'm coming into your space. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus is saying, if ever there is a time to worship, it is now. And he's willing to give you that free, that living water. That is like a well springing up inside of you. You cannot come to that place of worship. You cannot come to that place of freedom unless one, Jesus, have exposed that thing that is hiding, that sin that has kept you bound. You cannot come to that place where Jesus would want you to, where you would want to worship the Father. You know, you would try to worship, you would try to do this and try to do that, but unless you've come to that place where Jesus can give you that living water, enabling you to worship him in spirit and in truth, it will be like a weight that is around your foot, a loose around your neck. We want to give you that opportunity this morning to worship the Lord, to come in contact with him. You may want to meet him this morning like the woman at the well and say, give me that living water that I will never thirst. I want to tell you that God has created in you a space where only he can fill. And whenever whether we try to fill it with alcohol, whether we try to fill it with marijuana, whether we try to fill it with ecstasy or cocaine, regardless of whatever drug it is, it will never, ever, ever fill that space. But Jesus don't want you to be hooked on any other type of spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God, that place and that place in you that is reserved for Him and Him alone. This morning, God wants to set you free. He wants to call you to a place where you can worship Him. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. If ever there is a time that we need to worship God, it is now. Why now? We can look around. We can see all the pressure building up. We can see where people are losing jobs. We can see where people are losing their loved ones. We can see where people are losing even the opportunity for education. We are seeing where people have no finances. But God is saying, you just set aside some time and come up higher. Come to me. Come to me. I will give you that living water. I will give you that thing that can cause you to break free of the shackles that you are in. I can cause you to worship God. And when you experience that time of worship, God is going to release a blessing that no other person, no other organization, nothing could have filled. Jesus wants that place in your life. See, just wants you to set aside some time this morning. When that woman recognized that she was standing face to face with the liberator, with the counselor, with the friend that sticks closer than the brother. When she recognized who she was speaking with, she left and she told all who were around, come see a man who told me all that I have ever done. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Christ? You know, she didn't have to rely on arguments. She didn't have to rely on the age-long argument between Samaritans and the Jews to say who is the true God, where is the place of worship. When she came face to face with truth, she immediately was able to utter the same thing that have set her free to others. Come see this man that have told me all that I have ever done. This morning, God knows all that you have ever done. He knows all the things that you have hidden from others. But He's not judging you this morning. He wants to sup with you. He wants to dine with you. He is not putting Himself so far above you that you cannot reach Him. He's come down close, up, and personal with you this morning. He wants to set you free. You may have just entered into an agreement that will bind you. You may have just lost a job. You may have just uncapped a bottle and it's at the very start or at the very end. You may have just unraveled or wrapped a spliff just to try to fill that void this morning. You might have just lied down beside someone who you know will not be around 2 weeks from now, a month from now. But you just want to fill that void. I'm saying to you this morning, now is the time to worship God with the decisions that you are making. Now is the time to come see a man who's able to tell you all that you've ever done and to set you free. This is the Christ. Bow your heads with me and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you today on the behalf of my nation. Father, I come to you today and I bring my nation before you. The Word of God says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we want to recognize you this morning as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We are not divided this morning over who you are. For God, even the heavens and the earth declares the glory of the Lord. We know, dear God, that you are our Savior, that you are our shield and our defense, that you are our provider, and you are the one who sets us free. Free from addiction, free from persecution, free from oppression. This is what your kingdom is all about. Setting men free that they may know you and give their lives freely to you. Lord, I bring that man or that woman who is struggling this morning and who tried to quit substance use on their own but have failed. And now they need, that person needs help. That person needs to see and to meet this man, just like the woman at the well. God, I know that you're willing. And as those who are listening, oh God, would hear this broadcast, I pray that they would place their trust in you and that they would surrender to you and that they would make themselves available. Father, come into their hearts, come into their lives, oh God, and be that friend, be that counselor, be their physician, be the one, oh God, that will fill the void in their lives. We confess, Lord, that if ever there is a time that we need you, is now. And we know, Lord, that you're saying, if ever there is a time to worship you, it is now. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our hearts, coming into our lives, and setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen.